everyone. My name is Belinda Granger, and I'm the professional liaison for Challenge Family. I'm also known throughout the triathlon world as being a bit of a mother hen to the pro athletes. Of course, given the current circumstances, I've been thinking about the athletes a lot lately. So we came up with the idea of Coffee Calls with Belinda, which basically gives me and you an opportunity to check in with them all and see how they're all going. So welcome to the official Challenge Family podcast. I think it's time for a coffee.
And welcome back to Coffee with Belinda. I am Belinda Granger, and I have a very special guest with me this evening. He is in New Zealand, so just across the pond, not too far away from where I am here in Australia. Welcome, Terenzo Bazzoni.
Hey, Belinda. Good to be on with you.
Now, I've been wanting to talk to you for a long, long time. It's a known fact that you are one of my all-time favorite pro triathletes. Not just because you're an all-round gorgeous guy and also happen to be one of the best-looking guys on the circuit, but I think you've been a favourite of many a female athlete over the last, how many years have you been racing now? I was going to say decade, but it's way longer than that.
Sorry, I just had some quick technical difficulties there.
No problem. We're all back in it, right?
Cool. Very, very professional here.
Oh, yeah, well, you know me, professional's my middle name.
Yeah, getting back into socializing with outside people after being on lockdown here is a new experience.
I could only imagine it'd be like being a caveman coming out into the big wide world again.
Yeah. I had to make sure I had shaves every couple of weeks just to make sure I kind of my kids knew that the end of the world wasn't looming.
No, well, I think we've all been in that position. I know here in Australia, obviously, our lockdown was nowhere near as significant as the lockdown they had in New Zealand, but I was having to actually write down when I was washing my hair, because it was getting to a point in time where I had to go a week and I hadn't washed my hair. So I'm like, this is not good. This is not the way I want to be. So I think we've all been there. We've all been there. So it's a pretty weird thing to do. And it's certainly something that I didn't think I would be doing in my lifetime.
It's crazy. I can't believe it. But I guess looking at it, it'll be a good story to tell. 10, 20, 30 years time down the track.
Yeah, well,
it's kind of funny. You saw these memes going around that your grandparents or your great grandparents, they got asked to go to war. You've been asked to stay at home.
Oh, that's crazy. I know. And yet we complain about it.
Yeah, yeah. But it was nice. We live in quite a busy area, and it was just nice to see people spending time with their families. So a lot of families out with their kids, and for us, our big we went into it with a bit of a goal. I wanted to keep ticking over with training in the background, and it was kind of hard to have a number goal with training. But we said, well, we kind of lived curiously through our son, and we set his goal of being able to ride on two wheels by the end of lockdown.
Oh, that's
and
awesome!
We bribed him very well, and sure enough, on the last day of level four here, he got on two wheels and he's been loving it.
That's unreal. And there's nothing, let's be honest, there's nothing wrong with a good bribe. I mean,
no.
I love a good bribe. Fantastic.
Parenting 101.
Yep, it is. It's the way to do it. Hey, I work by bribes. Bribe me to do anything. but that's unreal. So he's now riding a two-wheeler. So
yep,
perfect.
Yep. No, it's good. And yeah, I came back from a 5-hour ride the other day, and I was ready to jump in the shower and eat some food. And he was like, "Oh, Dad, can you take me riding?" I'm like, "Okay, cool. I'll run next to you while we go for a ride." And he was like, "No, I want to go riding while you're on your bike as well." So we rode around the lake together, and that was it's cool. You kind of look at it and you know, being a professional triathlete, you don't want to push your kids into this stuff. But when they do pick it up, it's quite rewarding.
Absolutely. Well, I know both Luke and Beth McKenzie with their youngest Marlo was on one of her older sister's bikes for quite some time. It was just a tiny little bike, and she's just moved up to a big girl's bike, and just the look on her face and, you know, that sense of achievement. So I totally get it. It's you know, they're not even, they're not my kids, but just seeing some of the photos and videos they've put up, it's just, it's a lovely thing to see.
Yeah, it is cool. It is cool. Sorry for boring everyone with kids' stories.
Oh,
got
no,
plenty of photos anyone wants to see.
Hey, let's be honest though, T, your two children are without a doubt the best looking kids. I still see photos and shake my head. They are the best looking children I've ever seen. I said, Mum and Dad aren't too bad, I understand. But
thanks for the thank you. Kids, I just hope they're mine.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they are. They look it, but they're just beautiful and completely different personalities too, the both of them, which I love. You know, when I've seen them, been with them a couple of times, chalk and cheese in personality, yeah?
Oh, totally. Yeah, they're and it's cool. You don't want, it'll be boring if they were the same, but exactly. Our son's very, very gentle and kind and he'll go out of his way. Do things for people, and our daughter just rips shit and busts, and she'll go out of her way to make her brother go crazy.
I love it.
We're very blessed, and we thank our lucky stars every night. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, listen, T, moving on to something a little bit more serious. Obviously, one of the reasons that I really wanted to talk to you in particular as a professional triathlete is because we look at the last few years for you. Obviously, one of the biggest horrible moments in your life was that horrific accident that you had, which seriously almost took your life. I mean, we're not exaggerating when we say that. It literally, I get goosebumps still thinking about it. And it was, I mean, I couldn't even imagine what it was like for yourself, for your family, for Kel. I know for the triathlon world, it was just, you know, we waited with bated breath that you would come out the other side. You did, of course you did. You made a great comeback. You were about to race again, and then of course you had another setback where you came down with an injury. You were back from that injury, ready to rock again, and then of course coronavirus hit, and New Zealand went into full shutdown, straight to level 4. You know, we didn't experience level 4 in Australia,
yeah.
So we don't even know what it was about. So you've been dealt a pretty bloody rough hand over the last few years.
Yeah, it's been a rough couple of years, but I think they say everything happens in threes, so hopefully the accident, the injury and COVID will count as my three and it'll be all smooth sailing from here. But yeah, no, it has been a really rough few years and it makes you after my accident, it was a big kind of, I guess, test or come to Jesus kind of moment. Like, what you want to be doing? Is this your direction still? And I didn't even need to sit on that. I was like, no, I've still got unfinished business in triathlon. I still love the sport. I love the journeys. I love the people, and I want to keep going. So that was a very easy thing to get past and get motivated to get back going. I had a couple good results, and then. Yeah, last year training was going really good. Unfortunately, just couldn't get the results in the early season that I thought my form represented, and that was quite frustrating. And then had a bit of bad luck in races with double flat tire and whatnot. In Vietnam, but and then the Achilles, which has kind of been my Achilles heel for most of my career, decided to flare up again. The second half of the season and that ruled me out of Kona again. And finally, at the end of, I think on the 20th of December, I went under the knife for a bit of a clean up on the Achilles. And that's been progressing well. And training was progressing well. I was looking forward to heading over to Shep. Challenge Shep on beginning of April to kind of kick off the racing. And next minute, we're all on lockdown and life as we knew it was quite different. But yeah, again, you appreciate the stuff you do have in your life. For me, I'm very fortunate with my family, my wife and my kids. I feel very blessed with that. I'm very fortunate that for the sponsors that have stuck by me, that are there for the journey and hopefully the best part of the journey is yet to come. And yeah, I'm fortunate for my health. Finally.
Yeah. So everything is okay. So you physically are in a good place?
Yeah. Training has been going good. Swimming's a little bit behind the eight ball.
Well, I think you won't be alone there. So that's the only blessing about that part.
So we're back in the pool, and that seems to be progressing up quite nicely. Cycling and running has been great. I've got a pretty good setup here on Zwift in the garage. So I've been getting a bunch done on that, and a bunch of outdoor stuff the last 3 or 4 weeks as well. So yeah, fitness is good. It's looking like on the schedule, I guess September. There's a bit of stuff in Aussie, sunny coast, a few Ironmans. I'd like to qualify for Kona, which is now in February.
Which would be nice.
Yeah. And it was just a bit of a shame because I was really looking forward to Collins Cup and the whole PTO.
Me too.
Yeah, things taking off. But I guess we'll have to keep our fingers crossed for the PTO half distance world champs.
Yep, in December in Daytona. Look, that's gearing up to be an incredible race. I know when we talk like this, we are still talking with a lot of unknowns. But, you know, the way I've been looking at it is we can be negative and we can say stuff that I'm just going to give up in the whole year and say there's nothing till 2021. But that's not my personality. I don't think it's yours, and I don't think it's any professional triathlete. I mean, you train to race. So if there's any chance of participating in any races this year, then you guys are going to grab it by the horns, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. And a big race like that, I mean, it's got good prize money. It'll have good exposure, and it'll probably be the only, I guess, stacked field
for the year.
So that'll be really exciting to be a part of. And it's hard not to have everything up in the air, a big question mark over everything. It makes it difficult to keep going every day. But I guess, I mean, for us triathletes, we do it because we love to have the feeling of being fit. We love to set ourselves goals with our training sessions and achieve those goals or struggle to achieve them. And when you finish a training workout, that it feels that much sweeter. And also there's that progressive gains that you'll make over time by staying on and working on different aspects of the swim, bike, run.
And it sounds like because what I wanted to know about the New Zealanders, obviously, because Australia, New Zealand, very, very close. We often do things very, very similarly. Our government's quite similar.
Yeah, you guys copy us at everything.
And that's right, we do. That's
amazing.
We do. Hey, don't tell people that. We'd say you copy us, but I have to admit, we actually get a little bit jealous because obviously we love your Prime Minister, and I don't know one Aussie that doesn't love New Zealand, and I'm just so grateful that I got to go there earlier this year to challenge Wānaka and get my Kiwi shit.
Yeah.
So I still like look back then, and my attitude when I was there was just so carefree and lucky, and I'm at another race and I've challenged Wānaka, it's one of my favorites, whatever. And then to think, you know, a month later it's all over. So it's crazy for me to think that back in February that's where I was. But mentally, because obviously we had a little bit different when it came to the lockdown and isolation. You guys went immediately into stage four. We sort of hovered around stage three. So we had a lot more freedom, I so to speak, than what you did. And so, you know, it's curious for me to talk to a pro athlete who's used to spending, let's be honest, 90% of their time outdoors. All of a sudden, you know, you're inside 24/7. Mentally, I know the first week or two might have been all right, but be honest with me, T, towards the end, mentally, was it a grind? Were there days where you just wanted to pack it in and say, I'm done?
No, we managed to keep the variety up quite well. Like I said, I mean, since my accident a couple of years ago, I'm allowed to ride on the road a lot less than I was previously. I was doing 4 to 5 rides a week on the trainer, and I'd go out for 1 to 2 long rides on the road a week. So, I mean, those big endurance rides, they did suffer. But, I mean, I've got a good treadmill in the garage, and it's just nice. It was nice to be home, and it just felt like the whole pace of life slowed down.
Yeah.
And that was just nice, just to kind of take a chill pill, have a breath, and not be stressed about the training. And it's funny, you like to train with a goal in mind, but but when I find sometimes when I'm starting to get close to a race, you start freaking out, putting a bit too much pressure on yourself and to achieve those numbers. Whereas there was no pressure to achieve numbers because
that wasn't it. Yep, exactly. So
wanted to go good, but it wasn't the end of the world if you had a bad workout.
If you didn't. No, you're dead right. And you've been doing quite a few of the, obviously you said you use Zwift, and I know, speaking to Beth and Luke McKenzie, you've been joining in on a few of those Zwift rides with them in the mornings. I think they said that you're on there, which is pretty cool. It's a really cool concept.
Yeah, Cam Brown, right at the beginning of lockdown, he kind of he went out of his way to reach out to the guys at Zwift and try to organize that ride and that try Bunchy Down Under ride on Monday morning. What eventuated from it, and it gets a good turnout, bit of Aussie Kiwi banter, and then a few token Americans jumping in there, which is fun.
That's unreal. I mean, it's crazy.
I've seen some of the racing, some of the Zwift, the virtual racing, and I am going to stay away from that, like the plague. That can be my version of COVID-19. I'm like, the way that the watch those guys are pushing and the speed they're going is just ridiculous. I'm like, no, thank you.
Well, I spoke to Josh Amberger last week about that, he was. Yeah, because he did the last race, obviously, and he was absolutely blown away. He said he got left in their dust. He said he got a good wake-up call. And we all know Josh is a phenomenal bike rider. And it's always the talk now. And I've been meeting the girls like Melissa Hauschildt and Beth McKenzie and a few others down at the beach on a Tuesday and a Thursday just for a casual swim. And they're always talking about the watts per kilo. And, of course, I have no idea what they're talking about.
Watts per kilo.
And how can she be pushing that much? And she only weighs this amount. And it's just hilarious. I love it. So it's good because it's giving people something to talk about, something to, a bit of gossip. So, and for a lot of people, keeping them motivated. It's pretty funny. It is pretty funny. Now, T, you. True.
On Zwift, at least. In the real world, we'll cross that bridge in December.
Exactly, that's right. That'll be very interesting to see if there's any different results on the real playing field.
But. Yeah.
Now, T, you are renowned for racing a lot. So before the accident, obviously, when everything was going well, you raced as much as I'd say Cam Wirth is now racing. It was crazy. There was sometimes, five races in a row. And with each race, your form seemed to get better and better. So sometimes it wasn't the first or second race where you shone. It was sometimes the fourth or fifth race where you actually came out all guns a-blazing and then just blowing the field away. Was this something that you consciously set out to do, or it was just – so you sat down with your coach and you said, okay, let's target these five races back-to-back or four races back-to-back-to-back-to-back. Or – it just happened that way. Like you did a race. You thought, you know what? I'm not happy. I want another one. What was the psychology behind that? Because no one else does it really. I mean, apart from Cam Wirth, who we know is crazy.
You're bringing back some great memories. I guess it's a little bit of that cycling mentality, racing yourself into shape. Yeah. There's a little bit of that, but I mean, most of it was, there was more of a method than there was madness. I mean, if you look at my schedule over the whole year, probably race-wise, their number of races isn't that much more than most of the guys. I think on average, I'm between 12 and 14 races a year. It's just that I do them so good. But it would be like I would do a block of training and I would want to get in really good shape before the block of racing started, and it would just the way my build-ups worked, I wouldn't be carrying good form for an extended period of time. I would build up, I would get to good form, and I'll try capitalize on that good form and then go into a recovery, a little bit of an off cycle, and then build up for the next block, which generally is 10 to 12 weeks, a good 6, 7, 8 weeks of building, and then 2 to 3 races at the end of it. So we had thought about it quite well, and for some reason, I yeah, I definitely found probably on the second race, that's where my form would be coming up quite nicely. Second race, third race, it all depends on the distances, of course, but generally second and third race is quite good. By the time you get to the fourth race, you're losing a bit of that endurance fitness, and then just the fatigue from traveling. But I really enjoy it. And when you're going good and your fitness is good, it's nothing beats that feeling of just being in the zone. Your recovery is down. You know what to do. You know what to eat. You know where you are. And traveling. It's funny. I did a block in 2017. I went from New Zealand, Cabo 70.3, Island House in the Bahamas, Bahrain 70.3, and then Ironman WA.
And, you had a blinder.
Two firsts and two seconds, and it was there was no jet lag problems. But it's funny, you do that in any other circumstance, you'd be struggling. Like if things didn't line up as well as they had, you would be struggling from one trip to the next. But this was just, it was like clockwork and smooth sailing the whole way through, which I was very fortunate for.
And that's incredible, because those races you just mentioned are all over completely different distances, and just the amount of kilometres that you travel to get to those races, that's insane.
That's I told the New Zealand Olympic selectors. I'm like, it's swim, bike, run. It doesn't matter the distances. They didn't want to hear me.
It's crazy. And I'm assuming this was the Island House race where you had the sprint finish for first?
God's
sake. That's...
Ben Canute. I thought I had him. He had cracked and he came back and got me. But that will definitely be in the memory bank for the rest of my life. It was just an amazing experience.
It was incredible. And T, you're also renowned, and I know this because I know that back in the day Luke McKenzie used to be quite a big volume athlete when he was training, and I did quite, back when I was an athlete, now we're really going back, I used to do quite a bit with Luke, and I used to think he did a lot, but then he would tell me about some of the crazy weeks you would have, and some of them would be up to close to, is this an exaggeration, or close to 50 hours a week on some?
There's been one or two in my career at that, but not too many. Those were the early days. Arthur Liddy was a big running coach, and he was all about the over distance. So kind of it was a little bit of that philosophy that we took into our training, and it actually, it works. It works at times, but I think as I've gotten older, I probably don't need so much of that mileage. And I've actually quite enjoyed the more conditioning side of things, and it means that I can do more indoors that way. You're not trying to do 5-6-7 hour rides. And also with the younger family, it makes it more time efficient. But I tell you what, those hard workouts take probably more out of you than those long aerobic ones.
Oh, definitely. No, I agree. I mean, when you get yourself that fit as a professional athlete, to go out for a 5 or 6 hour cruisy ride, it actually isn't that difficult. It's just long. But some of those short, intense sessions, they are just, you're left on the floor dying.
Yeah, I don't, Dan Plews is my coach, and I don't know where he comes up with some of the workouts. but in his defense, he generally doesn't give them to me out of the blue. He usually tests them out on himself, and our FTP number is pretty similar. He's a little bit, so I got a bit more speed, but our FTP is pretty similar. So he'll message me in the morning and say, "Yep, sweet, I've done this workout. Now it's your turn." And I'm like, "Oh, sheesh."
So you've got no excuses, because you know he's done it. You can't let him down.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's insane. And how long have you been with Dan now? You've been with him for quite some time.
I guess we started working together 2017.
Right.
Yeah. Near the end of 2017. My coach before that, John Ackland, we're still on great terms, and he's helped me my whole career basically since I started triathlon. Dan and I were just at the stage that we were training quite a bit together over the weekends at least, early in the mornings. And he was going through a similar phase in his life with a young kid that we were in, and just and we got on quite well, and thought we'd just a fresh adventure, and it's been good. And I've enjoyed the difference in training,
yeah.
and just, yeah, I guess the slightly different approach.
No, I mean, it's obviously for athletes, particularly because you've been in the sport now, and T, I'm going to ask you to give away.
Been in it as long as you.
I was going to say, this is because I was trying to work it out before I got on the call tonight. I did a little bit of research, but obviously you have been in the sport for an incredibly long time, and you came in obviously as a junior racing short course, but you've been racing long course now for a long time. How old were you when you first started?
14.
And of course, New Zealand, that's like normal. Oh, that's insane. So 21 years now. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. and of course, yeah. New Zealand's one of the most incredible countries as far as juniors go, and the sport. I mean, it's in all the schools. It's part of the school curriculum. I always get blown away when I go over there and see like the Weet-Bix children's series. Yeah. It's in the thousands. Like you say, the kids race with the hundreds, but they're always in the thousands. It's just unbelievable.
It is great. We just I guess need to find a way for transitioning those young kids into the sport a little bit longer. But it's I mean, that's the cool thing. Like having young kids as well, you look at the skill sets that they should learn growing up, and swimming, being able to swim, especially being in New Zealand and Australia, is very important.
Very important.
And being able to ride a bike is pretty important. And most kids will pick up running one way or another, running away from bullies or running towards the tuck shop or the dairy.
I love it.
That's the cool thing about triathlon at a young age, especially with that Kiwi Kids event series has, is that it kind of it gets these kids into it. And I've got my nephew, he's 11 years old, and they were around the other day when I was on Zwift on the trainer. And he was telling me how he had his Zwift account set up. His dad had set him up his Zwift account.
No way. That's unreal.
Like, seeing his dad puts him on the thing, I'm like, oh, mate, well, here's my treadmill. Do you want to go grab the iPad and we can jump on the treadmill and run with me? And he ended up running 8Ks on the treadmill next to me doing a couple-hour workout on Zwift on the bike.
That's unreal.
Cool seeing young kids that are just so amped about swim bike.
Let's be honest, though, New Zealand kids, you breed them tough over there. I don't know if it's because of the weather. I mean, obviously, triathlon in Australia with the juniors is a big deal too, but it just that the New Zealand athletes just seem to have that something extra. I mean, I think about all the athletes, Cam Brown, Braden Curry, Mike Phillips, Dylan McNeice, yourself. You're all hard asses. And I try and think what the difference is. And I'm not saying that we don't have some incredible athletes here in Australia. Of course we do. But you guys, you just seem to be bred just that little bit tougher than most.
Yeah, well, you know, you're not going to get tough living in Noosa, Linda.
This is
a coffee
true.
Shop every 100 metres. and the weather in winter is nice and balmy.
I always love it. I always love it when Braden Curry and Cam Brown have been coming over here for our winters for the last few years. And, you know, you see Cam and Braden riding around town in the mornings. We're all rugged up in bloody arm warmers and jackets and beanies and God knows what else. And then you've got Cam and Braden running in nothing but Knicks and a jersey, and that's it. And they're like, this is heaven. It's balmy. It's perfect. And we're like, we're all freezing and we can't stand it. And, of course, if there's any water on the ground, oh, no one goes out riding then. But we'll always see Cam and Braden out there. So it really does make me laugh, the difference.
Well, we were fortunate enough to get over there for, I think, 6 or 7 weeks last year. And, it was great. And we've been – The weather in New Zealand is dipping very, very quickly. So we're waiting for the Trans-Tasman bubble to open up so we can jump across the Noosa and spend a bit more time, extend our summer at the beach a bit longer.
Yeah, well, look, we're hoping that's the situation as well. I know Braden's desperate to get back over here and do some training. And it's funny because I was only looking at the temperature for this week because we've had a pretty lousy week weather-wise here. It's been a bit of rain. And Saturday, I get
to a bit of rain in mid-20s.
Yeah, mid-20s, don't tell people. But in saying that, this Saturday morning, it's dipping down 9 degrees, it's supposed to be this Saturday morning. Now, that's legit temperatures for the coming of winter. So
that's Auckland weather.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see who gets out early or who decides not to go out till about 9 when it warms up a bit. But yeah, we definitely do get a little soft living here in Noosa. It's definitely the case. Now, T, talking about being a little older and wiser, I certainly don't look at you as being older. I still think you're definitely young. But well, you've definitely been in the sport a long time. So we could say in that respect, you know, you're a grandfather of the sport. But age wise, you're still young. But can you get away now with the sort of? Do you think you can get away now with the sort of training volume and race? Well, when I say race volume, packing races closely together, do you think that, let's say 2021, when we have a full year of racing, will that be your approach to try and to fit in quite a lot of races in a short period of time? Or will you now spread them out a little bit more evenly because you are getting older and obviously you take a little longer to recover, et cetera? Or will
got,
the mentality
I've got
three be
years to, 3 years? 3 years to catch up on.
True. Well, that's
3 years.
I mean,
the last 3 years, I got to catch up on it. I'll be racing every weekend for 2021.
You know, and mentally, I'm sure that's what you want to do. And I think that's going to be. It's funny you should bring that up, but I think it's going to be very interesting to see a lot of professional athletes that want to race because they just miss it so much. And are they going to try and pick all these races and end up in a heap by mid-year? And then you've got the other pro athletes, Terenzo, that rely. You know, a big chunk of their income relies on racing. So they've got no choice but to race, you know, to make a living. So it's going to be very, very interesting, particularly now that Kona has been rescheduled for February and then again in October. It's going to be a really difficult thing to plan and something that no athletes have had to do before.
Well, yeah, exactly. I think it is going to be difficult. And I mean, I'm not the bit that's worked for me is I'm not going out. If I'm racing 4 weeks in a row, I'm not going out and racing Kona 4 weeks in a row. You have that race that you can dig to that next level. Maybe you can do that once or twice a year. Whereas most of the other races, you're going hard for sure. And you're walking funny the next day, but you're not taking that life support energy out of your system. So it's not draining you on a deep, deep level. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to do it week in, week out. And I've definitely felt that works for me. Get fit, do a bunch of races at that medium high end capacity, and then when the big races come on the cards like Kona in February, that'll be just try and coil that spring up nicely so you're ready to pounce. There won't be a lot of racing going into that, but in 2017 when I was six in Kona, I raced Cozumel 70.3 2 weeks before. Two or 3 weeks before, and that seemed to work really well for me. But it was just a good kind of stepping stone. Like I said, the second race always seems to be a good one.
yeah, absolutely, and of course. I mean, different distances. So that's obviously something that you and your coach look into as well. It's not like you'd be racing a full distance race 3 weeks out from another full distance race. There is strategy there in the distances that you're doing and where you actually place them.
Yeah, exactly. And then Island House comes along and you just grit your teeth and keep your fingers crossed and hope for the best.
Exactly. Now, talking about interesting races, because obviously the PTO announced that they want to have their middle distance world championships at Challenge Daytona. It won't be over the middle distance or what we know as middle distance. It's going to be slightly shorter. So it's actually a really interesting distance. Just because of the way it is and the track, it's not going to be a full half distance or middle distance event. It's just slightly shorter. So it's going to be interesting because I am assuming that there will be quite a few shorter course athletes attending. Obviously, some Olympic distance athletes attending, which is going to make it very, very interesting dynamic with the longer course athletes. And obviously, Lionel Sanders won the race last year in Daytona. An unbelievable race. I was there for it, and it was a phenomenal race where he went head-to-head with Pablo de Pina from Spain. And it literally came down to the wire. It was a great race to watch. Same with the women's race with Lucy Charles and Paula Finlay, with Paula who was renowned, obviously renowned as being a shorter course athlete over Lucy, and was able to break away. So it's going to be even more interesting this year, because obviously we're going to have the top 40 ranked PTO athletes, and I've looked at the top 40 and they are predominantly long course athletes. And then of course they were anticipating that there'll be some shorter course athletes in the mix. So it is going to be an interesting race. I mean, nothing's been confirmed as yet. We do know that the top 40 PTO ranked athletes will be invited. But yeah, I was really looking forward to the Collins Cup, of course. When that fell through, but now with this, and the only great thing is we know the Collins Cup will be back next year. So that's fantastic to look forward to in 2021. But for 2020 being at the end of this year, will it be something? Obviously, Kona will be the focus for you in February, and then will you change your training? Will you and your coach Dan specifically do some shorter, faster, really red line training sessions to get prepared?
Good question. It will be interesting, I'll leave it.
I know it's a long way away,
with. Like, for example, with Island House, preparing for that, we didn't really do a lot of AT. There wasn't a lot of track work. There wasn't a lot of real high-end stuff.
No.
It was more that solid tempo, the 70.3 type work. And we're definitely starting to incorporate, it's quite early now, but we're incorporating those 70.3, little bit higher power, the higher running speed workouts back into the training already. So hopefully by the time September comes around, we'll be able to hit good numbers in workouts consistently, and we can build on that through racing in September, October, November, December. Who knows what's going to happen with races. Our border is going to open, our country is going to open, our race is going to go ahead. I still have to qualify for Kona, to be able to race in February. I think being able to prepare in New Zealand while the weather here over summer isn't quite as hot as Noosa, we do have pretty good weather in summer. It does get nice and warm, so that's good preparation for Hawaii for February. It just eats into my social schedule, because usually I kick back, relax, and have a few beers over Christmas time.
Actually, you've made a really good point, T, because I think that's the same for most pro athletes the world over. December is a time off for everyone. You know, you get through Kona. Obviously, the great thing about Daytona and the PTO Championship is it's early December, so you can just push it along, get that done in December. But then when you would normally take a break, you guys have got to then start ramping it up to get ready for Kona in February. So it's going to be completely different. I know. I didn't even think about it. Oh, it's you will still, obviously you will still, if you'll take a little bit of time off over Christmas, even if it's just very short, just to enjoy Christmas, that can't do any harm, because you'll obviously still have all of January to prepare. But it's a fine line.
Ooh. The thing that I've noticed with, with age and with time is, yes, I do need those little off season breaks along the way that fit well. But I really enjoy getting out and training. I enjoy that. And even around Christmas time, usually my brother comes home, and if we spend a bit of time on Waiheke Island, which is an island just out of Auckland, we'll go mountain biking most days. When he's home, it's for my brother. When he works in the alcohol industry, he works for Heineken in Amsterdam. So when he comes to New Zealand, it's his detox and it's his training camp. That aspect of it works quite well, because he doesn't want to go out and have a drink, or he just comes home and he wants to train as hard as he can.
Like a fitness camp. That's pretty good, actually, because over Christmas, I basically, the only thing that gets me out of bed and gets me training is to justify the food and the wine over Christmas, because it's always ridiculous. So that's the reason I love getting up and going training. But that's actually a good thing to have your brother home wanting to actually get fit.
Yeah. The hard part with him is trying to get him to have a beer with me.
Oh, that's funny. But, again, it's just – I think the hardest thing for athletes right now is just us talking about this and planning and saying, well, this is how we'll do this, this and this. But then at the end of the day, none of us really know what's going to happen and whether any of these races are going to be able to go ahead. I hope we can salvage something towards the end of the year. And that's certainly my plan, because it's funny. I obviously haven't raced for, you know, 6-7 years now. I think I've been retired, and I'm sure I miss attending events as much as you guys do, as much as the professional athletes do, because it's such a big part of my life. So I am busting to get to an event. I don't even care what one it is, as long as it's an event where I can and be out there when and be amongst it when you're racing. I love it, and I feed off it. So I live through you guys racing. I love it. So it's been horrible. It's been a really strange experience.
It is, yeah. That is a great feeling, going to different races and experiencing the energy from the races and the people at the races, and that's why I love it. It's just so much fun. Like you said, it's just it's what you live for. It's kind of boring if you just. There was no races going on. You're just stuck at home training.
Exactly. And so talking about the races, and as you said, it's such a big part of your life. I mean, the sport of triathlon, you've been in it for 21 years. So it's not just a profession for you, Terenza. It's not just a means to make a living. It's part of such a big part of your life, like for so many professional athletes. I know, I mean, if we talk about Cam Brown, and Craig Alexander, who are two of the most prestigious in my eyes. I mean, I adore them both. They've been in the sport forever. They're still both doing incredibly well, and they still both love it like they did back when they first started. So speaking about you, realistically, how many more years? Are you even looking at that? Have you got a plan to say, okay, for the next 3 years I'm going to give it up everything I've got and then we'll go from there? Or have you got a set plan, okay, as soon as I turn X age, that's it, I'm out? Or are you just going to be like Cam and Crowe and several others and Didi Griesbauer, another amazing athlete? Are you just going to keep going because you know what? You can, and because it is a part, it's such a big part of your life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at Brownie and Crowe. There's no way I'm going to be racing when I'm 55 like them.
Oh, they're going to love you for that comment.
Oh, sorry, guys. Bloody 20-year-old, this cheeky Bazzoni, has nothing changed.
Nothing's changed. Always cocky.
Who knows? I mean, the end is definitely not in sight for me, but my focus on my goal of getting to the top of the podium is stronger than ever, and I kind of I'm not playing the long game with that. I've probably felt about 3 or 4 years ago, just before the accident. That year leading into that was 2017, beginning of 2018. I felt my fitness and I guess maturity, strength wise and mentally wise, was kind of at a new level. Mm-hmm. So I definitely think I'm yet to kind of capitalize on this newfound mid 30-year-old strength. So hopefully over the next year or two, and kind of see some big steps in the right direction. And like I said, it's a great, I mean, I love it. I've been doing it 21 years. I've never once gone, I need to get another job the thoughts never crossed my mind. Everything's got its own challenges. Now the kids are getting a bit older and they'll start at school later on this year, my son. So just deciding how we navigate that. But Brownie did it, Crowe did it. They're definitely hurdles, but there's ways around them. Braden, they do a great job with schooling and their kids. If you think the journeys that we get to go on as triathletes to races and training camps are pretty cool. I mean, what these kids are learning at 5-6 years old, following you around the world has got to be pretty huge as well. So I don't think I'll be depriving my kids, but, you just need to, we need to make smart decisions, the right decisions.
Yeah, I agree. And you're dead right. I've seen Beth and Luke's, their kids, I've seen their passports and they are just, they're incredible. You wouldn't think that children that age could have passports with that many stamps in it. But, the education they're getting is priceless. You couldn't put a price on that sort of worldly education that they're getting. So what a life. I mean, incredible.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And so, T, any plans that, I mean, obviously you're going to race until, and I think you'll know the time. I think it was, well, like me, I took a year to retire, and people always often ask why, but because I wanted, there were certain races and places I wanted to go to for the last time as an athlete. So that's the reason I personally decided to do it that way. But I knew that it was coming to a time where I needed to retire, mainly because I was still training well, that was still fine, but I was finding that I would get to races and I was quite happy to settle. So you go to a race now and your sole focus is to give 100% everything you've got on the day. What that may be, you can't always be in control of, but regardless, whatever you've got on that day, you're going to give. And I was finding that I just got to a point in time where I would start well, but then as soon as it started to get a little bit painful, a little bit hard, I would be, okay, well, I don't care. I'm here and that's all right, just finish. So my whole mentality changed. And that was my own personal little reminder to say, you know what, the end is near. And then I really had to start thinking about what did I want to do after I finished racing. Did I want to go back to my other profession, which is a phys ed teacher, which I did for 12 years, or was there something else I wanted to do? And I knew that I wanted to stay in the sport in some capacity. But have you started thinking about the – I know, this is the only – I promise this is the only hard question I'm going to ask you all night.
I hope you're not planting a seed, Roland. I hope you're not trying to say something.
I promise I'm not. I promise.
No. Yeah, Chris Lieto and I used to joke. We would have been 2008 or 2009. Wow. We did Vineman 70.3 in Santa Rosa, and we stayed at the same homestay together. And we would joke that the men in the black suits need to come and they'll come and visit you and knock on your door and tell you, "Yeah, mate, your retirement is up. You need to hang it up." So I always think of that, and Chris Lee.
Chris Lee, yeah.
Miss those chats. But I have no idea where the end is. I love the sport. I love what it brings out in me, and I love kind of chasing those high performance gains and those high performances in races. That's really exciting. But I have. My coach, like, so originally my coach, John Ackland, I mean, so he started coaching me when I was 14 years old, and he was always like, well, you need to think about what you're going to do after the sport, because as we know, it can end tomorrow. I mean, you have an accident or whatnot, true. And that could be the end. And I'm like, oh, I'll figure it out. Oh, yeah. So he spent 20-odd years trying to tell me about that, and finally... with the injury last year and getting a bit older and maybe wiser, and then this whole COVID thing, it's kind of got me thinking just a little bit more about what the next chapter would be if I keep getting knocked off my bike by trucks and obstacles keep jumping in my way. What would be something that I am passionate about that I could kind of sink my teeth into, and like you, I would love to be involved in the sport in some way, kind of being able to do those trips, travel to races, and be at races and absorbing that energy and contributing to the energy, and hopefully being able to kind of teach some of the young up and comers a thing or two about what works, what doesn't work, and what can bring out the best in them. So there's that, and then also, my dad was in construction most of his life, and that seems to be the thing that my mind keeps going back to, something in the construction industry. I've actually started studying part time, something that nauseated me, the thought of studying for the last 20 years. I've just enrolled and do online courses, just a couple papers, and it's really, really interesting, except for when the assignment come due and I've procrastinated doing anything, and I'm up till early hours in the morning trying to cram an assignment done, but that doesn't happen often.
No, we've all been there, done that. That was that I basically got through university like that, so I think most of us are used to the cramming. It's funny, I when we went to lockdown and I knew that I wouldn't be traveling, it was, I thought about getting on, jumping online and looking at some courses to do, and I never did. I ended up procrastinating too long. But it's been amazing to hear some of my friends that have got on and done some of the most extraordinary courses, like winemaking courses and yeah, really tough courses. Another young friend of mine got end up getting his pilot's license, and so some people have done some big things, and it's sort of, it's made me feel slightly insignificant, to be honest. But
Linda, you're amazing. You're amazing. You and Justin are amazing human beings.
We're getting old and decrepit, but we keep trying. I bit off more than I could chew last weekend. Maddie White, who's an ex-pro triathlete, yep. And is now an absolute Adonis. He's the most shredded man I know. he got us to do this ridiculous challenge on Sunday morning. Went for 40 minutes, and honestly, Monday, Tuesday, I'm literally only just been able to start moving my shoulders again. So
really,
I always said I would never do any of these silly challenges, because I know that you get yourself into trouble. But I thought this one, I'll have a crack at this one, and it was a bit foolish. I bit off more than I could chew, but it was fun.
Good on you, B. Good on you.
Now, lastly, before we leave, obviously, family, you've got the most beautiful wife, Kelly. She's been so supportive over so many years. Every time I see her, she's an absolute breath of fresh air. Just beautiful woman, and she's been your rock throughout all your entire, since you met, through your entire career.
Yeah, thanks, Belinda. She has. It's funny, we started dating, I was still a teenager when we first started dating, which was quite exciting, because I guess both of us had a very little amount of baggage going forward in our lives, and she's been amazing. Her mum was actually a professional tennis player back in the 70s.
Early 70s.
So, wow. So she played at Wimbledon back in the day. back when wooden tennis rackets were a thing.
Oh yeah, I remember.
So Kelly, she's no stranger to it. She understands what it takes, what I need to do, the sacrifices I need to do. It's amazing. I come back from a hard day training and she'll like, oh yeah, cool, I'm taking the kids out now, so you can have a nap and recover, and then we'll catch up later on. And she kind of just knows how to read those signs, read when I need my extra recovery, or if stuff needs to be picked up. She's amazing. So I am lucky, and I know a lot of people who do the sport, most people who do the sport probably do have an understanding partner or understanding parent that helps them out, that helps them through it, and just make sure you take a step back every now and then and recognize that and thank them for it. Because if you're anything like me training for triathlon, you tend to be a little bit grumpy and tired a lot of the time. So make sure you're aware of that. And it's probably your fault. If you guys are fighting, it's your fault.
Exactly. No, I totally get you. And I hate to say it, but it is sport. It's selfish. Sport can be selfish. And often, you know, when you're wrapped up in yourself and goal setting, and you do start to take things for granted. So I think if there's one thing that this crazy coronavirus has taught us all, is not to take anything for granted anymore, and to appreciate that everything you have, your partners, mums and dads, your kids. And it's been the one great thing to come out of this. So, no, I totally agree with you there. And, yeah, you have got a wonderful wife, and she's very, very, very cool, as are your two children. So I really hope that we do open up our stupid borders and that we get the Kiwis over for summer, because we love having the Kiwi connection over here in Noosa for summer. It's great to have you all over here. So hopefully that'll happen sooner rather than later.
Very exciting. Good coffee over there as well.
Well, of course.
Better
coffee. Well, this is interesting. Better coffee than New Zealand, because, I mean, Auckland's got some pretty damn good coffee. It's a tough call, T.
Oof. I don't know if I would go better or
on par.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's good coffee. I'm a little bit of a coffee snob. I like my coffee. It's good coffee, and as long as someone's making a good cup of coffee, it's okay.
Yes, exactly.
They're stopping it up, then it's a big deal. Then there's a problem. But I must admit, in Noosa, it definitely seems to be more of a scene. Like coffee shops are a lot more boutique-y, there's a lot more smaller roasters, whereas in New Zealand there's probably half a dozen main roasters that, that kind of supply the coffee beans to the cafes. There's not quite the same culture that you guys have.
We do pride ourselves on our coffee culture. So that's that's all I seem to be doing these days is coffee in the mornings and good red wine in the afternoons and nights. So it's not a bad way to be, but I need a little bit more in between. So it'd be good to have the Kiwis over. Give us a little bit more entertainment.
Got the kids over when we come.
Oh yeah, great. Yeah, thanks for that. That'd be good. We'll let them out with the dogs. They can play with our dogs.
Yeah, they can run around. That'll be gold.
I love it. Well, T, listen, thank you so much for giving up your time and talking to us. I'd like to say, it's not that you're busy, but I know time's precious, and especially now that New Zealand, where you're actually allowed out and about and training's back on the agenda full time.
It's been great to catch up. We've been far too long since I've caught up with you, so that was exciting. Yeah, I hope everyone around the world is keeping safe and keeping sane, and hopefully see you at the races at some stage in either late 2020 or early 2021.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. And I can't wait to get to see you at the next race and actually be allowed to give you guys a hug. So that would be nice. Just go back to normal.
Yeah.
Oh, crazy.
Normal will be good.
Normal's there. I'll never take normal for granted again. Thanks heaps, T. Please send my love to Kelly and the kids, and I'll speak to you soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Belinda.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Coffee Calls with Belinda. I really hope you enjoyed listening. If you'd like to continue listening and stay updated on our latest podcasts, then please subscribe. It would also be great if you could rate our podcast and leave us a review. If you have any specific questions you'd like me to ask the athletes, then please send through to the following email address, podcast@challenge-family.com. The making of these podcasts would not be possible without the wonderful help of our great partners, Powerbar, Otso, Zone 3, Lubos Bilic at LB Training, Sport No Limit Group, and VeloSoc. But for now, thanks so much for listening, and I'll be back soon for another coffee.